Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
So it's so good. You know, Pastor Andrew and I have been preparing probably for 2 months for this word and for really all that's going to follow in the next couple of months particularly. And so it's not kind of like just an ordinary word for us. For us, as a leadership, we seek the Lord to hear his voice, to really direct us and to bring us into his will and his plan as a church, as a people, and as individuals. And I really believe that this has power to change your life and has power to change this region and other nations. And I believe God can do a lot with a few. And therefore, I believe that God can do a lot with you. And so we need to approach what God says with a real expectation of faith. That God's going to birth something of his destiny for us today. And birth something of his vision and his purpose for our lives. And, of course, we normally come out with just a shortened statement, which is going to help us to understand. And without further ado, I'm just going to declare it really first. The word of the Lord for us this year is reigning in life, bringing his rule. Yeah. Reigning in life, bringing his rule. Thank you, Jesus. Now that is an amazing perception for you and for me and for his church, that we actually are in Christ called and equipped to reign in life. It's not just a fanciful idea. I really emphasize that it's vital that you put your own thinking down and just accept the word of the Lord today. Because if it hasn't been your experience in the past, God wants to make it your experience. But we can only come into the reality of what God has planned for us through faith. Say faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word. So an invisible dimension of faith through God's word and his anointing, his spirit, is going to release something in your spirit if you mix what you hear with faith. I absolutely believe that God has great things for you and for me this year. I absolutely believe we're going to see us win battles we never won before and see stuff change that we've never seen change before. And I believe that there's going to be an equipping coming through the fivefold ministry gifts and through, of course, the word of the Lord, which is exalted above all things. And that word is going to equip you, because it is essential that we grow up in the things of God. It's essential we become mature. You see, babies don't lead. They don't have the capacity to lead. They need training, they need to grow and become mature so that they can be responsible in society. And it's the same with the church. We must grow up in Christ. We must be spiritual and not carnal. To be carnal means that you're living through the five senses and through your experiences and not through faith, through your spirit, your new man. To be a spiritual man will mean that your year is going to be filled with life and peace. You see, the church needs training to act royal, speak royal, think royal, and rule as kingdom people. It's not about survival, it's about reigning. This is what this word is about. It's not about surviving another year or going through another year. But at the end of this year, to come to the end and say, my, It was great to see the reign of God through my life and in my world. So we have this expectation. The church isn't supposed to be controlled by circumstances. The church is not supposed to be controlled by world systems. Thank you, Jesus. So what's going on in the world affects us with love and compassion. But because we're in Christ, we have another system to live by. We have another Lord to live under. Thank you, Jesus. And so I believe God expects us, wherever he puts us, to reign and to bring his rule, his kingdom. Wherever he puts you, he expects you to rule and see the kingdom reign of Jesus manifest around you. The next slide really are the keynote scriptures of the increase of his government, his rule, and of peace. There will be no end. Isn't that a wonderful word to speak over this year? And into your heart, into your spirit this morning, just receive this of the increase, say increase, of his government and peace. There will be no end. It's exciting. So that is one of the scriptures. The other scripture from Psalms. Actually, it's 103, verse 8, verse 19. And his kingdom rules over all. Just think about that. His kingdom rules over all. Say over all. Okay, you know, we've lived for such a long time in just thinking that the kingdom of heaven is just so small and so lacking in influence. We haven't seen the power that Jesus wants us to see. We haven't seen that authority released that Jesus has given us already. You see, for a believer, everything is on the inside of you. You already have everything you need. You have God himself living in you, and you have the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven isn't over there or over there, but it is within you. His kingdom rules over all within you. Oh, it's wonderful. What a mindset we are to live with. You see, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we're thinking as God sees us and as God says it is. Because what God says it is true. And finally, Jesus said in Matthew 16, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. So the kingdom of heaven is within you, and Jesus says, I give you the keys. Keys mean that you can unlock things and close things in. Because this kingdom rules over all. And God wants to execute his rule through your life this year. This year is about a rule and a reign of God through your life and through our lives as a church so that we see the kingdom of God come and his government and peace not coming to an end. Now, I believe this, it's a pretty poor picture, but here, in the next slide, we see it was difficult to think about you advancing the kingdom in darkness. But light always overpowers darkness. And if heaven is in you, wherever you go, light rules. And so we see this movement into the reign of God over all the earth through God's people. Now I'd like to just unpack this in a more kind of meaningful way this morning. The teaching over the next few months is going to equip you to reign as kings. I'm ever so happy about this message. It's not one of those messages where you're like, oh no. It's really going to bring victory and joy into your life like never before. It's going to motivate you like never before to live for Jesus. But I'd like to just take a kind of overall view of the biblical history of the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven didn't just come with the arrival of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven has always been. Kingdom means, let's really break it down into two words, the king's domain. And the kingdom of heaven, if we look at it in the king's domain, before God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything, all the angels, all the spirit beings. Everything he created was good. And all things he created were to live in subjection, or his creation was to live subject to him. Because he is a king. And a king actually rules. But Satan's rebel kingdom came in. Satan rebelled. And at that point, a rebel kingdom came into being through sin and rebellion. And we know Jesus said, Satan, I saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. So Satan was cast out of the presence of God because rebellion and sin cannot remain where God is. So Satan was cast out. But this kingdom, God created all things to be subject to him. Now, in Genesis, we read about the creation of man. Can we just turn to Genesis chapter 1? The creation of man. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 26. This word has power to change you. Amen. Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now we read in Genesis about the creation of all things. And in this creation, God makes man superior to everything else he has created. Because man alone was created in the image and likeness of God. God wanted to create us so that he could look at us and say, they are like me. It's the most simple way of breaking that down. God wanted us to be like him. Not God, always created, because he alone is creator, but in his likeness and in his image. So God gave man his life, but he also gave man his assignment, his purpose. And in these scriptures, so many times we read to rule over, to be over creation, to rule the earth, to subdue it. God never put man under things apart from him. We're not to be under anything, but God and his authority. And his authority has an outworking in reality in our lives, through leaders and through other means, which is another subject. But God created man to be under him and to be almost his understudy in creation. So reigning under the king. So we were created to be kings or rulers in the earth. We were given authority or rulership over all the works of God's hands. And we are called by God creation's master at this point. This is an amazing viewpoint of man, which of course we never had because we were never born like this. We had to be born again. So we never experienced this. So it's difficult for our brains to take in that actually God made us to rule the earth. Every one of us. It was never his plan that any one of us should be under creation, under our circumstances, under problems, under Satan. It was never his intention or his will. And in being created to be like God, God made man faith man. Man was created to believe. He was made to believe. Thank you, Lord. It's right from the beginning. This is not like something we have to do now. Because man was created in the image of God, and God is a faith God. How do we know? Well, we read how he made the earth. He wanted, for example, the stars and the sun. He believed it and spoke. Kind of like a ruler. Isn't that what a king does? Speaks and it happens. Hello. And if man was created to be like God, he was also created to speak. Man gave names to the animals. He identified the animals. He was absolutely brilliant because he lived in unbroken connection with God. It's beyond our minds what Adam was like. Okay, so he was created to believe God and to speak and to rule the earth, not by sweating, but by speaking. Yes, he had to maintain, subdue, multiply, be fruitful, but this was not a stress. It was what he was created to be. Okay? So God created man, and everything he created was good. But then we know the story that the plague of sin entered. We read that in Genesis 3. I'm just giving you an overview this morning. The plague of sin entered. Eve was deceived, ate the fruit and gave it to Adam. Adam took the fruit and they sinned. They acted against the word of God. God gave one word, one boundary. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man rebelled and took the fruit and ate it. And through that, I was looking up this word plague because I was trying to find a word horrible enough to understand what happened. A plague actually means an unstoppable disease that affected and killed everyone. And this is what sin was. An unstoppable disease that killed everyone. What God said came to pass. If you eat it, you'll die. Man ate it and he died. He died spiritually. Death was never known in the Garden of Eden. Tears weren't known. Sweat wasn't known. Toil wasn't known. Anger wasn't known. Anxiety wasn't known. But sin entered, and the plague of all humanity entered, and all mankind died. Now, Satan enticed man to sin, but in man sinning, mankind lost his dominion or right to rule. He lost his authority to rule the earth. It was almost like an officer in the army, overall a general, being, defrocked, or I don't know, take his badge off him, take his uniform off him and give it to that person. You no longer rule, I do. And man gave the right to rule to Satan. The extent of the damage was awesome. If you read it in Genesis 3, in one generation, the first children of Adam and Eve, in that first generation, the sin, it breaks your heart if you read it in the reality of what happened. We're just so used to living in an environment of sin around us. But from no sin to hatred, jealousy, self-righteousness, disobedience, and then murder. The murder of a brother. A family member killing a family member. And so the ravages of sin are inexplicable, which is why God hates sin. Not only did it separate us from fellowship with God, which is what he created us for, but it meant that man became mastered by sin and Satan. Man who used to rule and was the king of creation suddenly became the ruled, the one who was under the dominion of darkness. And all mankind without Christ are under the dominion or rule of Satan, or under the dominion of darkness. Man, the first evidence of this break with God is that he hid from God. He was ashamed. His eyes were opened, not to the glory of God, but to himself. He lost God's consciousness and he fell to self-consciousness. He lost glory and he saw he was naked. What a fall. What a devastating thing sin is. Now, man went from thriving in the life given to him from God to surviving. And until you're born again, all you do is survive. Get through your life until you, if you're still under the dominion of darkness, you go eternally into hell. But we've got good news. Thank God we've got good news about the kingdom of heaven and about the king of the kingdom. But in this absolute mess, God's kingdom still rules overall. In this ungodly, unrighteous, fallen world where Satan, all people lie under the sway of the evil one. All systems of the world are ungodly and inevitably will fall. We still see in Scripture the authority of God's kingdom, and we read of it in Daniel. Daniel gives us this amazing insight into the reality of the kingdom of heaven ruling. And you can look at it later. I haven't got time today. But in Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, the most ungodly, horrendous king, God communicates with him. And if you know, God can communicate with anybody. He actually communicated with you. Should give you faith for anyone. It gives me faith to know that in my ungodly rebellion, God broke in and spoke. Thank God for his mercy. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. One of the ways God communicates is through dreams. And in this dream, he had a vision of this huge statue. This statue had a head of gold, body, torso of silver, legs of iron, clay, mixture of metals in the feet. It was a different kind of metals. Amazing statue. And he saw a rock cut out without human hands come in and smash this statue to pieces until it became like chaff and it was blown away. And Daniel said, this is the dream. He was highly motivated to interpret the dream because the king said, unless you interpret, you will die, you will lose your head. That's called motivation to seek God. You know, sometimes it's really good you get into a mess because God kind of gets your attention. And so Daniel started to seek God and he got the interpretation. He got the dream and the interpretation. And this amazing vision, he says to Nebuchadnezzar, king, he was a very respectful man to this king. He was a man of honor. He honored authority, even ungodly authority. But he said, king, this is the vision. The head is the Babylonian system. It's your system. It's the system of authority, a government of authority. It will be smashed by the rock. The silver is the Medo-Persian system, which is a rule of law. It will be smashed by this rock. The legs of iron is the Greek rule or government. It will be smashed by this rock. The mixture is the democratic Greek free thinking. You know, whatever you think is true must be, which is kind of the world that we live in today, free thinking. He said that will be smashed. They will try and set up a mixture of kingdoms and rules, a European 10 nations, the toes, and it will be smashed. And Daniel says, he actually saw, you see, the end. This rock that smashes the statue will one day become a huge mountain and fill the whole earth. I said, fill the whole earth. Not a little kingdom. Not a destructible kingdom. It's an indestructible kingdom. It is superior in every way to all other governments, all other rules, all other systems. Every government that has been set up has, in Daniel's eyes, already been smashed by this rock. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone is Jesus. He smashed the devil. The powers behind every government. You see, everything has a head, a spiritual head. Because we're all under a spiritual rule. Whether you're under the Lord, I pray that you are, or whether you're under Satan. Every world system has a spiritual head. But the king of all kings, the lion of the tribe of Judah, actually paid the price for man to be restored back to rulership on the earth. And he rose again, defeating all the powers and principalities of darkness. And today he reigns forever. And his kingdom has always ruled, will always rule, and has defeated all the kingdoms of this world. Now Daniel saw these different seasons of world systems. Because of course God knew what was and is to come. And after these systems, the kingdom of God would come into the earth. Like a rock. But Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. What is the rock? Revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is deep teaching this morning. Stick with me because I am building a spiritual mindset. God does not want you to think like the world, to speak like the world, to live with the wrong mindset of the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And what it really means to have the kingdom in you. This indestructible, indefeatable, powerful, all-ruling kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. What a revelation. Now, we read that when the rock came and smashed, it was Jesus' arrival. The king arrives with the kingdom. In Matthew, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're growing up to be rulers. Amen. Not going to live like children anymore. You know, before you're a king, you're a prince. You have the inheritance, but you need a bit of training how to walk, how to talk, how to think. You need to know how to act like royalty before you're actually given the responsibility. And I believe this year that what God is saying to me and to us as a church is actually we are in the right place to accept this responsibility. He has built us, and now we're ready to reign. Princes need to grow up, and we will help you to grow up into the revelation of kings and to reign in life through Jesus. In Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus comes not just as the Savior, but as the one who's to restore the kingdom to us. You know, God doesn't just save you. He gives you a kingdom. He gives you his kingdom. So you're not just going to heaven. He makes you back into his original intention. Actually, with even more, because he himself lives in you. Jesus. And so the king arrives with the kingdom and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And wherever Jesus went, he preached and taught on the kingdom. It was his priority message and his priority mission. So wherever Jesus went, he would teach on the kingdom. And then he would demonstrate it to show that this kingdom rules. Hello? No demon could stay there. Even a legion had to go with one word. No sickness could stay. No person sick could stay sick. Because there's no sickness in the kingdom of heaven. No need couldn't be met because there's plenty. There's plenty. There's plenty in the kingdom. He showed the attitudes of the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom. He taught about the ways of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom. Jesus came to bring the kingdom. But the only way that we can enter it is through repentance and faith. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wherever you go, if you are born again, the kingdom of heaven is at hand for all those people around you. Okay? It's available. Now, Jesus didn't wait for them to get saved for them to get blessed. He wanted people to experience the kingdom, the goodness of God in the power of the kingdom of heaven. Now, repent. We've talked about this and it's true that when you repent, you actually turn away from your old life of sin and you turn to Jesus and follow him. You believe in him and follow him. But I believe that repentance is a lot more than that. It's a repentance from living like you used to before you got saved. Because if you're in another kingdom, there are different rules that apply and how this kingdom works. Okay, so Jesus doesn't just say repent from your sin. He says change your mentality about how you do life. Change the way you think about how life works, because it works different in the kingdom. Now, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that just being forgiven is enough. Because the problem with mankind isn't just doing wrong things. It's that he himself cannot do right things because he is a sinner. And so if God forgives, that doesn't remove the problem of carrying on sinning. And what a carry on that is. What does God say? What does his word say? Unless you are born again, you can't enter the kingdom. But if you repent and believe the good news, believe in Jesus, you will not perish but have eternal life. We are born again through faith in Jesus. Now this is the greatest miracle and the one that we can never stop praising and thanking God for. And that is that through faith, God hasn't just taken my sins away. He's taken away that sin nature, that heart, the spirit that was dead in sin and could only be rebellious against God. And God has given me a new heart and put a new spirit within me. He has given me his nature and his life. You see, the old creation cannot come into the kingdom. Only those who are born again will be saved. Okay? Now, to be born again, you actually have to believe that Jesus died and rose again and confess him Lord. Okay? Because this kingdom is not democratic. This word is rich this morning. It's not a democratic rule. We have a king. He's a king of love. He's a king of mercy. He's a king of faithfulness, but we have a king. Israel were not like any other nations because they had a king. And when the king said something, if they weren't in rebellion, they would obey. Because a king is to be obeyed, isn't it? So the king arrives. Jesus is the king. And we see the wonder and the humility of this king. That he is a servant at his very heart. Gentle and humble in heart. This is how he rules. He brings his rule in a very different way than, for example, Genghis Khan. Our mate Genghis was nasty. This king is wonderful. And he actually wants to do you good. But the only way you can enter the kingdom of heaven, this kingdom that will take over the whole earth. You know, you're a part of something that's in the takeover business. We are in the takeover business. Oh. I know I've got it in my spirit. I trust it's coming into yours. We are taking over in the right spirit, in a spirit of humility and love. But we're here to take over, guys, because this kingdom rules over all. Thank you, Jesus. So the king arrives. He comes to bring his kingdom. But can we just look at Romans? Okay, that's the new man. Just that lovely little picture there. You see, when we repent, we receive a new heart. And therefore, our heart, we live out of the abundance of the heart. Our mouth speaks, we live out of our heart. And so the new heart, the new spirit, is the life of a believer. Thank you, Jesus. The old life has gone. The new life has come. Say the old is gone. The new has come. Thank you, Jesus. The old is gone. So he doesn't just titivate you, give you a makeover, spend a fortune on your face. He actually takes out the problem. Wah, it's your spirit. And he puts a new heart in you. And he actually puts his spirit in you. Now, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to just bring this all down about the kingdom down to one subject now. We've seen the broad view of the kingdom of heaven and how the kingdom came through Jesus and how we can enter the kingdom. But now we're going to see one of the most important revelations that you can have to reign in life. And it's in Romans chapter 5. And we'll read the scripture. Let's read verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, that's Adam's sin, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? Oh, what wonderful verse. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? Adam's sin was just one sin. And one sin was enough for death to reign in every man, woman ever born. So when you were born, death reigned. Physically, when you were born, death reigned. You were under the reign of death, under the reign of sin. You were under the rulership of Satan. Satan had dominion over you. But those who receive, now it's so important you understand these words. Receive is nothing to do with you apart from accepting. It's not making it happen or working at it. It's, the word is receive. Those who receive the abundance of God's grace. Why is God's grace more abundant than sin? Because Jesus died for the sin of every man ever born into this world in every generation until he returns, till the end of time. If I think of just my sin, I would say that's abundant grace. Grace is giving unfavored blessing and acceptance to those who don't deserve it. You don't earn grace. You don't earn God's favor. You don't earn God's acceptance. It's freely given. So those who receive the abundance of God's grace, the words are so lavish, they are to actually make us thankful about God's grace in Jesus. Because Jesus died the sinless offering, bore our sin, and rose again. And that is God's abundant grace. What he did is the expression of God's abundant grace. This scripture is saying those who receive abundant grace and the gift of righteousness. You see, we can still think like the old creation. Do you know what the old creation thinks? Do you know, if I want to get on, I better perform. I better raise my game. I better do something different. It's all about working at life to attain your goal. And righteousness has nothing at all to do with works. The gift of righteousness has everything to do with God's grace. Thank you, Jesus. If you think of a chart, just say like, this is 100%, 75, 50, 25, and naught. Think of a scale, yeah, 100%. You might have thought, well, over Christmas and New Year, I was about 75% righteous. Some of you might have thought, oh, hang on a minute, I had a really not a good time, about 50. God's saying, in Christ, it's 100%. It's dangerous to preach this. It's very dangerous to preach this, but I'm preaching the word. those who receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is in this, in God's mind, is not about your conduct first. It's about a gift first. Okay, so the gift means 100% righteous. What a revelation. God, please open our eyes. God, please open our eyes. You see, unless you get this revelation, you can't reign in life. Because to be 100% righteous means that you'll have this concept of yourself as right with God all the time. And if you believe it, you'll walk in it. You see, the force of righteousness is to change our behavior. Not our behavior to change us. But Jesus, the Christ within, to change our behavior. Thank you, Lord. And so God says, yep, 100%. If you've accepted and entered through faith in Jesus, are born again, 100% right. Some of you might be looking around the room saying, oh, it doesn't go for him, does it? I know what. Get your eyes off everybody else and put them on Jesus and thank him for the abundance of grace to you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 100% righteous. You see, the gift of righteousness enables us to reign in life. When you believed in Jesus, you passed out of Satan's dominion. You know that statue? You're not in those systems. You're not part of that statue no more. You won't be smashed, go to chaff and come to nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are part of God's kingdom. And this kingdom will increase and completely fill the earth. This kingdom will. Whether you think it or not, it will. This world, this earth is going to be full of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he is. I believe the word, I don't reason it. I've decided in my life the most important thing to do is stop reasoning and believe. So I just like a child say, okay, Lord, that's fine. I'm righteous, that's fine. You say, it's fine by me. Actually works for me. I'm really grateful because, I mean, I know that my performance level does not come to 100% on any day, even on the good days. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Free, 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 free. So you've passed out of Satan's dominion. You're in a new location. Location, location, location. I'm in a new location. See, I've been thinking a bit about royalty, how they live, how the queen lives. You know, she's not just a weekender queen. Because we're not weekender Christians. We're in the kingdom all the time. But we're not conscious of this, you see. We're righteous all the time, but we're not conscious of it. I once was given the blessing of staying at this 5-star, and I think it's plus, place overnight. Visited it and thought, wow, this is how the other half live, you know, or the other 1%. And, you know, I put my robe on, my hotel-inspired slippers, put them on, and I'm walking around. It's like, oh, they've got all this stuff, you know, bubble bath. I'm talking plenty. In it went. You know, I just floated around my bedroom with all the fragrances. I tried everything on. It was all free. It was all in there. And I was like, so this is how it is. And I was like, I left there knowing I'd have to leave. And you know, sometimes we have these experiences in God that are like that, 5-star plus. And we go, oh, if only I could live in this all the time. Well, you can. Because you're in Christ all the time. Christ is in you all the time. And you are in the kingdom. And the kingdom is in you. So we're not to visit, we're to live. In righteousness, not to just have it as a message, but as the life that we have in Jesus. We're not weekenders. We're not conference people. We are believers. Although a few conferences might do you good. But you know what I mean? It's like we live in the reality of what Jesus has done. Scripture actually says that he who is born again, the one who is born again, is one in spirit with the Lord. No, you can't get it, because if we did, we'd be ever so happy. Currently, you're one in spirit with the Lord. Nothing separating, united, one in spirit. Why? Because of the gift of righteousness. You couldn't be one in spirit with the Lord without being made righteous. You, through the gift of righteousness, are right with God now. You are in right standing with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you're only righteous because of the new birth. Not because of works, but because you are born again. Thank you, Jesus. So, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. So when Jesus stood and said before the tomb of Lazarus, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Why? Because a righteous person always knows God's heard them. They don't have to puff and pant and scream and cry, wail, say, let's have a bit of arm twisting. I'm righteous. God hears the prayer of the righteous. And so he just says calmly, Father, I thank you that you've already heard me. And that you always hear me. But now, Lazarus, so that they can see that you're Lord, come on, out. I mean, he did shout, come out, in a loud voice, come forth. But we're talking about a righteous praying ability. You see, if you're not righteous, you're not united with him. You don't have favor with God, and you don't get your prayers answered. God hears the prayer of the righteous. And Jesus came to give righteousness as a gift to all who will believe. You know, Israel, in the Old Testament, we read about the nation of Israel, how they had righteousness reckoned to them. But you have righteousness as God himself. God himself is your righteousness. I mean, that is just, it's mind-blowing. Father, help us to believe this. God, Israel was reckoned righteousness because Jesus hadn't yet come. And they were righteous by faith, but they didn't have the nature. So it was reckoned to them. Now, new creations have God himself as their righteousness. So it's not of works. It's not of my performance. It's not because I'm ever so special and God chose me, although I am. And so are you. But that's not the reason I'm righteous. I am righteous simply because he has become my righteousness. Now, why am I saying this? Because I believe that if we are going to reign in life, as the scripture says, we don't just need revelation of righteousness. We need to be established in righteousness. Do you know what it means to be established? It means you're not going to move. When your performance fails and you have a bad day, you're still going to stand and say, Lord, I know you've made me right. But Lord, I confess my sin. I'm not suddenly unable to reach God. I'm still a son of God. I'm still the righteousness of God. But Lord, I've broken fellowship with you. And if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to cleanse me from my sin and from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is needed to cleanse us, but the gift is given freely. Thank you, Jesus. I trust this is going to completely change the way you think about yourself. Because if we think like God thinks, then we can come into the rule and reign of those who are called to bring life to this world, to bring the kingdom of heaven to this world. Now, you see, the vine and the branches is the example Jesus used. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus is our righteousness. His life is in us. We're the branches. The fruit is the fruit of righteousness. It's the fruit of his righteousness. What was the fruit of Jesus' righteousness? Well, he rose the dead. He cast out demons. That was the fruit of being righteous. Not just the character, but the power. Of course the character. Because you are righteous, do you know you can have a week without sinning? When I hear people, believers say, "Oh, I've been struggling with that temptation for 30 years. I'm like, what on earth's the matter with you? You need a good dose of truth. And you need to rule your own senses. Because the new man is to rule the old. Walk in the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And so you need to know who you are, believe who you are, and then walk in who you are. And so if you're struggling with a sin, then say, "Lord, I confess my sin, but I thank you, I'm righteous." And a righteous person does not get involved with this stuff. That stuff's not for me. I'm righteous. I'm holy. But if you think it is for you, that you can come back and say sorry, you will live without reigning in life. Because all you will do is become this cycle of failure. God has set you up to win, not to fail. He's given you his life to win. Thank you, Jesus. So the righteousness that is ours in Christ will produce the life. I'm going to finish with this picture of you in Christ. You see, righteousness is like a platform. And unless this platform is absolutely established in you, you won't be able to reign in life. You will be more sin conscious than righteous conscious. You see, a righteous conscious person, when they pray, they go, "God, I know you're here. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given me authority in your name. And I ask in the name of Jesus for this person to be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed." Not flapping, not struggling. They won't say, "Oh God, well Lord, if it be your will." A righteous person actually knows that heaven's will is a reality. It's the same all the time. It doesn't change. And that they are executors of God's will because they're the righteousness of God in Christ. And so righteousness is a platform that needs to be laid deep in your spirit and in your mind. So that you see that God has set you up to win. Now, if you see this as a platform, that means to reign in life means to rule over all these things. Fear. Hello? Anxiety. Lack. Storms. Accusation. Sin. This is you, by the way. This is a picture of you. You can live in this if you want. Negative circumstances, negative emotions, addiction, temptation, all the works of Satan are under your feet. That takes a whole shift of mentality to reign in life. And the shift is righteousness. That this gift of righteousness that can't be earned and is mine because Jesus lives in me now gives me the power to stand before God without condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I am not inferior. You are not inferior. You're a son of God. God's children are no longer inferior. They're actually masters of Satan. Rulers in the world. Say, "I'm a ruler. I will rule over sin. I rule over the enemy. I rule over negative circumstances. I've got power over all sickness. The kingdom of heaven is within me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, believing that will give you the victory in all those areas. We're righteous by faith. Not by striving or struggling, we're righteous by faith. And as we believe that, we can now live in the power of it. Let me just read this verse again. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those, this is us, who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. God expects you to win. Because he knows what he has given you. But if you don't believe it, you won't win. Even though you have the potential to win everything. Faith is actually the principle on which this whole kingdom is built. We live by faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. Believe you are the righteousness of God. Believe you can stand before God unashamed, not inferior. Believe that when you stand, you're actually looking out on life from a different platform. In Christ, you look on life as under you, not over you. We are over, not under. We're the head and not the tail. And all because of this abundant gift of grace, the gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. I really have nearly finished, but I just felt to read something that the Lord gave me in my personal time yesterday. For me personally, but I believe it will actually sum up this message. And it's taken from my journal. Let me just read it. Sin entered through Adam, and man lost everything good because man himself became a sinner. He could not produce my will, my nature of love, my righteousness. Man became a survivor, not a ruler. A curse came on the land, and life became a struggle, an effort. This was never my intention. This was all you knew until you were born again. All you knew was darkness. Satan mastered you through your sin nature. He overpowered you and had spiritual authority over you. You were dead in sin, locked in the dominion of darkness, until you received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, my nature, my indwelling life and power has lifted you to rule and reign in life. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Isn't that wonderful? Kind of sums up really the message to launch us into this year. That actually to reign in life and bring his rule, we need to know that we're righteous. We cannot fight the things of the enemy naturally, carnally, by bulldozing our way through life. We must have the spiritual weapons, and faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so your faith matters right at the start of this year, that you actually make God proud. And believe you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not inferior, not condemned, not ashamed, not guilty, justified, just as if you'd never sinned, righteous 100%. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.